Hello, everyone. This is Glenda. I'm reluctant to say the late Glenda, but anyway, we have had some hurdles to go through in getting everything and everybody connected. And I want to start by just saying thank you all for being here, for making up our loving community, and a special thank you goes to Carolyn. We're going to have her beautiful voice back today because Nancy, our great help and support, was needing to be somewhere else today. And so we send her our love and blessings and hope that she's having a marvelous day, whatever she's doing. And I know that everyone around her will be blessed that she's there. So thank you, Carolyn, for being here. And I'm going to turn it over to you in just a moment. I just wanted to get us all set up and give a few minutes for everyone to arrive and settle into your seat. We're going to continue with our study from the Keys of Yeshua today. And we will go forth on chapter 16 about abundance and productivity. It's a powerful chapter and one that is extremely relevant to what we're going through in the world today, finding ways to be more abundant and not entirely knowing how to connect our productive activities with what's going on and how to become more affluent, more abundant, to have more of that monetary flow that we especially like to have in the holiday seasons, because we want to share with others, you know, and we want to have good meals and good times together, give presents, and just rejoice in the victory of this year. Regardless of how this year has progressed or turned out for you, it is a victory to move on to the next chapter of your life, and you don't have to carry all of the baggage with you that you were not thrilled about. Just leave it behind, bless it, be grateful for the lesson and the experience, and let's be prepared to just be grateful for the end of this year and all the blessings it brought us. There is nothing, according to Yeshua, there is nothing that triggers more abundance than the simple word gratitude. I am grateful. And it plays a prominent role in the prayer he gave his disciples, to the thank you, the gratitude. You know, even with hard times, we can begin, interpreting those experiences as a new normal. Well, I guess things are just going to be this way for a while. And when it becomes the new normal, even when something good happens, we forget to say thank you because it barely averages out on all the things we don't like. So we just keep creating new normals. That isn't spiritually healthy. It's actually a tactic of anxiety to keep us from being more afraid than we might be. Because if we can adapt to something, we feel like we can get through it. But adaptation, although it's a good thing to be adaptable, it can be a drag on motivation. Sometimes the greatest accomplishments in the history of this world emerged from hard times. Not soft times, hard times. The level of our motivation is very key into what we do with it and how much we achieve because of it. So, yes, it's always good to find peace where you are. And I have been having the most extraordinary peaceful days, the last couple of days. And it was, they were so unusual. It actually caused me to ask, what in the dickens is wrong? why should we question peace? But we do when it's outside the normal. You see, I was used to having not bad things, but noise, busyness, and dealing with people from all positions or needs in life. And the noise could get pretty loud at times. And when it all stopped, it didn't feel normal. But God gave me two beautifully peaceful days. And I wrote to a friend, and he said, well, take it while you can and milk every minute of it because it won't last. He was going to tell me that peace is not the new normal, but you get it every now and then. I think he was probably right, because it helps us to look around the world, to look through our community, get a feeling into our family and our friends, the ones we know best, and we get an idea from them what the current normal might be. But we haven't averaged out our own life and made our life less than it should be. Take your life up to the highest it can be. And if it's joyful and you don't know why, don't question it. Let it be joyful. If it's enlightening and you wonder, what did I do right? Don't question it. Accept it. And I think one of the ways we fall short of our potential for abundance is we think if it's not the new normal, it isn't real. And it might just go away. Well, you know, my friends, it might just go away. But wasn't it wonderful while you had it? Be grateful for what you have. And you will magnify it. It might not be the next normal of your life. If you get an outstanding bonus on your paycheck, it's probably not going to happen every month. But wow, isn't that wonderful for now? And just pace it out for the whole month so you get to feel that little spirit of abundance with gratitude every day. The same thing can go for affirmations, compliments, opportunities, pleasurable things that you share with other people. And you may not have your best friend in town all the time, but isn't it wonderful when you do? So let's don't short sight the unusual occurrences. And let's don't say they're not real because they didn't become normal. Normal is probably a pretty fair average of what's available most of the time for most people in your life. And sometimes it is a little bit noisy. Doesn't mean it has to be negative. It's just noisy, like, oh, what can we do to get through this? What can we do next? You know, somebody worrying about something, somebody calling someone, that kind of noise. And it's all right. But there's something else I want to preface this reading today with. And that was our study of chapter 15. And that was about the quantum field and the magnetism that is in it. Yeshua makes a really big point in our new chapter that productivity does not always result in abundance. Sometimes, and you probably learned, we work because we have to, the job needs to be done, and we're the it person, and we do it. And it could just be the end of a task and the end of the story right there, or it could open up as a continuing opportunity. But productivity does not always result in abundance. here's what results in abundance. Abundance creates more of it. And it also creates in our mind the kind of productivity that will create more of it. Yeshua says, actually, abundance is what generates productivity, not the other way around. That was a new one to me. I had never, ever thought of it that way. But after reading the chapter, speaking with him and applying it in life, I saw, yeah, it is. But where does this come from? How does it make sense? This is where the quantum field figures in. You see, let's compare it with a quantifiable field. The quantifiable field includes your house, your car, your food, your clothes, anything that can be weighed and measured or counted, anything with dimension or occupies space, flows through time. And the perplexing and challenging thing about that, even though these things support us and give us gratification and pleasure, there's an end to them. Because in the quantifiable field, there is this law of conservation. Everything that is gained creates a loss somewhere else. Everything that's lost is replenished with new gain. In other words, everything balances out in the quantifiable field. In the quantum field, there's no end. There is no limit to abundance. There's no limit to how you can be blessed. There is no limit to possibility, for there is no time. There is no space. There is no such thing as it had to be created before you could have it. The quantum field is inherently and timelessly magnetic. You attract everything from the quantum field. Then after it enters the quantifiable field, well, it becomes a new feature of the quantifiable field. This is why our universe is expanding. Isaac Newton, if he was here, he would have argued me to the grave that there can be no more in the quantifiable field than was here before. And he also presented the idea of consumption. Eventually, it will all be, because of the laws of thermodynamics, it will all be consumed and not replaced. Well, since the birthday of Isaac Newton, this universe has expanded by times five. What can account for that? There's only one thing that can account for it, and that is that the quantum field is slowly or even rapidly converting its substance into new quantities of existence. So we've got a paycheck coming every day, every moment, every year, every life of our being. The problem is, we're attracting things we don't want. And we're not attracting the things we do want. That's why we're complaining. You would be overwhelmed with abundance if you were attracting only what you wanted, all the love you wanted, all the friends you want, all the opportunities you want, the right kind of work you want, a new car, a home spacious enough to support all your activities, good health. If you got only what you wanted, you would be rolling in abundance. But oftentimes, we're attracting what we dread. Let's just say we're dreading ill health. This is the big damage that went through the COVID era. We're dreading getting it, and people got it. We're dreading not having a cure, and we didn't get a cure. We actually got vaccines that caused worse. We are attracting what we dread. Let's just say we have been given a health evaluation that's not groovy. It doesn't sound good. So we dread the consequences. And then we get the consequences. But this is why also so many people on record, not just in wives sales, but records, people I know and people who've written books about it, have been saved at death's door, because when they got close to the event happening, they were so in love with their friends who'd been showering them with blessings and affection and support. They didn't mind the prospect of dying. They just wanted more health, more love, more presence. And all of a sudden, the disease stopped. The doctor came in and he said, well, I don't know what happened, but you're going to be here for a while longer. And we don't know how long your reprieve will be, but you've got it. Pack your bags and let's get you discharged. That has happened. And it often doesn't happen until the very, very last moment when we stop dreading death. We bring it on ourselves. And I want to tell you also, my friends, there's no such thing as death. Only the body ceases to be able to care for itself, reproduce itself on a cellular level, and continue with the just the job of keeping it alive. Many, many people go into a high state of conversation once their soul is the only thing they have. They know for the first time in their life who they really are. You are your soul. You are your soul incarnate. That's it. And the stronger you build the attitude of a living soul, the work of a living soul, the feelings of a living soul, the more your soul becomes the recognizable and joyful and creative force in your life. And all kinds of bad things can try to happen because they're all around us. And they push on us, and they try to happen, and then you just get your mind off of them, and they go away. This has been happening to me for the last 2 years, and I think it's partly because of my age and the idea that some health challenges are just supposed to be appropriate at my age, and I just don't give them any credence. In fact, I had an argument with my doctor, and I said, look, are you doctoring me because I'm my age, or are you doctoring me because I'm me? We had a real, and she said, well, you know, the pressures of the system really force me to do X, Y, and Z. I say, so the system has put a hat on my head with a template on it. And she says, well, yeah, it has. And I said, take it off, or I'm getting another doctor. I want you for my doctor, and I want you to doctor me. Okay? We had a real clear understanding about that. And I'm expressing this to you because I want you to know where your ability to attract the right things comes from you. Does it come from your body? Your body could actually be at the point where it's ready to say, oh, I'm so sick and tired of this. Just take me away. get the wheelbarrow and put me in it. Your body could actually be at that point. But you're not. You're not. You're going to have to decide who you are. And there's really only one answer to that question. But you have to discover it. I can't tell you. It's your choice and your life. But the reason I brought this up is because once you begin attracting from the quantum field the opportunities you would like to have, the friends, the blessings, the inspiration that make you feel most alive, you will find a way in this world to put them to work. You will create work to find a presence for the blessings coming to you from higher ground. I had to take a little time on this because I knew on your own you wouldn't get what he's saying. I didn't. And I had to ask a lot of questions to get here. And even then it was hard to believe. But it's true. It is true. Okay, I'll give you another example. I bet you've had this. You have a dream, and you want to remember it and give some thought to it, but you also want to go back to sleep. All right? The next morning, you wake up and you try to remember that dream, and it's nowhere to be found. You can't even find a shred of it. Like, what happened? That was so vivid when I was in my sleep. It came from the quantum field, and it went back to the quantum field. See, you didn't give it anything to do while it was here. I get inspiration for my book. And I have had the silliest learning experience. And I say silly because I know better, but I still do it. I keep telling myself, okay, that's what I'm going to remember and do when I get back to work this afternoon. I get back to work this afternoon, and I can't remember that thought. It's gone. And I'm thinking to myself, well, is my memory just fading? No. Here's what it was. I started carrying a recorder around with me. If I get an inspiration, I record it right then. In other words, I put it to work. I find a place for it over here in the quantifiable field. Once I've found a place for it, it's not going anywhere until it gets written, which is a further place for it. You've got to find a place for these inspirations that come in, these ideas that come in. They come from the quantum field. You're in it. And the other thing I want to make really, really clear is it's not somewhere else. You're in it right now. It's entwined, interwoven, and indelibly part of the quantifiable world. It's just the part that gives it flexibility, that gives it a true future. And actually, this is maybe the most powerful thing you've heard, actually allows forgiveness to occur. We could hold on to flaws and faults and hurts and offenses forever. And the reason we hold on to them is we don't want them to happen again. Not really that we're holding grudges. We just want to keep an eye on who, what, when, where something hurt you because you don't want to have it again. The quantum field, when you give it to the quantum field, now that could be God, Holy Spirit, Yeshua, or just the open field of poetic response, like, this happened to me. Wow, isn't it amazing? And all of a sudden, it disappears. The quantum field is a gobble goat. It will gobble up anything you give to it. Write a poem for the hurt that was done to you. I'm serious. Have a meditation. Have a prayer. And the quantum field will eat it up. It'll take it away. You need to live in both places, my friends. And if you live in both places, you will have no problem with abundance. You may get worried sometimes, but it will come in. Okay. I didn't mean to use up all of our functional time, but Carolyn, I want you to read now the rest of Yeshua's message to all of us, starting with the passage I sent out overnight. It's
pages 197 to 199. Can you hear me there?
Yes.
That's in the first edition, and in the second edition, which I've got, the later edition, it's pages 199 to 200. So,
okay.
I'll get started with Yeshua's message. Now, please understand, production is an honorable pursuit. Truly productive men and women are actually emulating their Creator. Even so, production is not the cause of prosperity. Absolute certainty that prosperity is possible is the cause of production. The visible and open presence of charity, shared one to another, is the source of that belief. And charity is not just the giving away of worldly goods. Charity is a generous heart, a grateful spirit, a forgiving soul, a courageous life, an expansive vision, an exploratory mind, caring hands, persistent dedication, and creative ideas. Charity is a visible sign of spiritual wealth. As you express your spiritual wealth, material abundance will follow. Do you want to comment on that, on the importance of charity in a feeling of abundance?
Yes, I do. I do. Actually, I want to comment on the whole paragraph you just read. I'm just going to ask a question. When you were younger, or perhaps even now, you might look at your paycheck after a week or a month or whatever, and you're going to say, how in the world will $30 an hour get me what I need? Okay, that $30 an hour is the summation of labor. It's not the summation of what you're worth. Labor is just something we do, and sometimes for me, I'd rather it be an act of charity for how little I might actually get paid. But now, let's just say it's a starting position. Okay, 30 an hour, starting position. But we're grateful to have the job. There's the beginning of charity. We have an opportunity to be somewhere we can make friends with other people doing what we're doing, learn from them, get ideas from them, and friendships. And they like you, and they pass on ideas for how you can get more from a better job, move up the ladder. You see, it's all part of community developing and expanding. And you expand your community, you expand your work experience, and you'd love to buy a home, but you'll say, there's just no way I'm going to qualify for a loan or buy a home unless I get more income. But you find a couple of friends that have the same idea and say, let's pitch in together. Let's buy that house we love. Okay, well, let's do. You buy that house, and one of the reasons you guys liked it is because it had a workshop behind the house, and you've got these projects you're working on, and all three of you thought you could put your minds together and work through these projects. Well, these projects become your affluence, and they get you to the next level. And your success in marketing those products leads you to another success. You guys sell the house, split the profit, and you invest it in an expanding business that becomes more than you ever thought you could have. And it started with your original generosity of, okay, I'll be grateful for a $30 an hour job. This is how it works, my friends. You intersperse your charitable attitude, your gratefulness with the labor of your hands or your mind or your back. And you get on with life. You become a productive member of your community, doing whatever you do. You build your productivity into something that is more gracious, that contains gratitude and a charitable conduct in life, which then becomes your creativity. Your creativity then becomes your prosperity. And yes, I think it is important still for us to simply give from our life. And it doesn't have to be much. Yeshua made a big deal over the widow contributing a tiny mite to the temple. And in those days, a mite was less than one penny. But it's all she had to give. Giving from within, I'm going to tell you how that works. And it's powerful. It's really powerful. You've heard before, I'm sure, what you give, you receive. But I'm going to turn this into a really powerful message about how the quantum universe works with you. No matter how small the gift is, what the gift means is you liberated some part of what you were clinging to in the quantifiable universe. You're not saying, oh, but I may need that penny. I may need that dollar or that $5. I don't know how this day's going to end up. I better play it safe and keep it in my piggy bank. When you liberate it, whether it's to God, to your temple, to a worthy charity, or a friend. Now, when I say friend, I'm not talking about a managed relationship where they expect you to share your income with them. Now, I'm talking about somebody you meet in the grocery store. Maybe you pay their groceries. I'm talking about that kind of friend, where that dollar, $5, $100, or whatever, just goes into thin air. It's you released it. You put it back into the quantum universe with a spirit of gratitude. Now, I'm going to ask you, which dimension of the universe is likely to magnify that contribution? The quantifiable universe, where you might buy a sandwich at McDonald's. God help you if you have to do that. But anyway, I couldn't resist that joke. Or is it going to do you that kind of good? Well, it'll quench your hunger for a while. Or is it going to be magnified in a different way, giving it into open, free, and unfettered space and energy? How's it going to do the most good for others? How's it going to come back to you multiplied times five? Okay, let's go on, Carolyn.
Yeah, Yeshua begins to explain spiritual wealth in more detail here. Spiritual wealth has other recognizable qualities. For one, the feeling of wealth is gratitude. That's the feeling of wealth. The inner way of wealth is to be so in harmony with your true being and with God that you do not waste vital energy on looking for greener pastures. Isn't that true? But cultivate and multiply that which you have been given. The attitude of wealth is humility. Even with meager material possessions, you can experience great abundance and wealth. When you can see the abundance of infinite supply as greater than you are, there is no end to your wealth. When you can know this with all your heart, then material possessions, however great or small, will serve your life and bring no sense of lack. The action of wealth is creative ingenuity. And that's the end of the section.
But isn't that beautiful? You know, and so reading this chapter in sequence to chapter 15 is a beautiful continuity. They're really all completely part of the same reality. We could not possibly create for ourselves all the wealth we need. And you're probably thinking, or some of you might be thinking, yeah, but what about the billionaires? They didn't create that either. They didn't create it. They were blessed with it. And they will either become a better person because of it, or they will be endlessly challenged to be worthy of it. Some of them will fail. Some of them will succeed. It's just a different reality for them, but it's the same principles that apply. God gives us our wealth. We are given whatever we have, and when we give back to God, it's our way of saying, I know who gave this to me. And it wasn't my company or my boss. It was you. God wants your love. And he wants you to know who has given you everything you have. On the day you arrived at this planet, dressed in your birthday suit, all wet and shivering, you had nothing but the body that your Lord had given you. That was it. And your mommy and your daddy, who were going to take you in their arms and give you more. But basically, you came here with nothing. That goes for every billionaire as well. Every king, every queen. Everybody, we came here with nothing. And we will leave taking nothing with us. In the meantime, we're given an opportunity to receive gifts of the Lord, gifts of life, gifts from one another, and multiply them. And as we do that, we are expanding the field of life, which can build even greater opportunity for generations to come. It's a wonderful, wonderful prospect of interconnected affluence and abundance. As we create, then we invest. As we invest, then we earn. It's a marvelous flow and exchange and expanding spiral of creation. I just marvel at how much more beautiful our universe could be. And it will be. And amazed that its vastness is continuing to expand. We see no evidence in the highest domains of science that there's anything compressing or constricting or folding back inward on itself in our universe. It's all expanding. no compression occurring, no coming back to center. Who knows? Maybe it will happen. I'm not wise enough, informed enough to know what to tell you about that, but at the moment, it's not happening. Not in the highest court of science. There's no observation. Only that's expanding. And where's it coming from? It could only be coming from one place. And the quantum field is beyond measuring. That's where your blessings will come from. And it's also why it's a very important thing, I think, for you to, you'll either learn the soft way or the hard way, that you'll give in one direction and you won't get back anything from that direction, but you'll get something wonderful coming in from a different direction. Why? Because the supply chain is coming from the quantum field. See, this is not, most of what we give and get back is not transactional. I'm going to define transaction so we're all on the same page of this. Let's just say, okay, you go into a department store. You're going to buy some winter socks. Okay, you put them in your shopping cart, or just you walk to the counter and pay for them. Either way, you pay for those socks. The cashier puts the sock in a bag and gives them back to you. That's transactional. The way you give is the way you receive back. That's transactional. And you would think that, or at least we train ourselves to think that the blessings of life are going to be transactional. Often they're not. Sometimes we go through a terrible challenge in life, but we bear up to it. And we become champions of dealing with it. And we become victorious. And what we get back, in a way, is a little bit of a transactional payback because we learn from it. But way on the other side of our life, we open a door that we could never have walked through if we had not had all those challenges. And we find that through those new doors opening up is the frontier and the rest of our life. You see, you just don't know where something's going when you give and you give and you give. You don't know where it's going because in the quantum field, there is no time. There are markers. There are what we could call sequential markers, but they don't all go forward. Sometimes they go sideways, and sometimes they actually go backwards. What would backward time look like for me? One example I can give you is you get a do-over, something you thought you failed at. You get a second chance at. The quantum field takes you back, gives you a new opportunity to do again what you messed up the first time, and then you're doing it beautifully, and you're so grateful you got it. And the fact is, if the quantum field is working for you, and that's a big if, if it is, you do get to go home again. You get to go back to the town of your birth, recover your memories, forgive all the things that didn't work for you, meet up with a few old friends that are still there, and all of a sudden feel really good that it was your hometown. Now that's where time moved backwards for you. It gave you a new chance. it gave you a recovery point. And it does. This is the miracle of forgiveness. Sometimes forgiveness gives you a recovery point, and you are made whole from it for what hurt you the first time. You could go back and try music. Let's say you really wanted to be a musician. You got a guitar. You took music lessons, and you were pretty good, but not good enough. And later on, you really got another opportunity, but had nothing to do with playing the guitar. It had to do with meeting someone who was turning poetry into music. And you had always been a poet. And for the first time, you found where your music inside you could be activated. You see, these things that come back around are time moving endlessly around in the quantum field, giving you new opportunities, new friends, new beginnings. And guess who's behind it all? The one who created you. The one who loves you. The one you need to express your love to at the end of every day. And you have no idea where it will travel to. But it will only go back to your love account. Let your love account grow by giving endlessly into it. And your love account will then bring you blessings at exactly when and where they need to happen, coming from who you wanted them to come from. So I would say the best thing that you can do for endless prosperity is build your love account. Build it up. And then you'll have a wonderful way to use it when it's right and appropriate. Well, we are almost at the 4 o'clock mark. Let's take a look, Caroline, and see if we have some people in our queue who would like to.
We have one person from California 530 area code in the Q&A queue. Let's open that person's mic. Can you hear us? I don't know what your name is. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Hi. My name is Christine Carlisle, and I'm calling from Mount Shasta, California.
Hi, Christine.
Hello.
I know you. I know you.
I know you too. I have sent emails to you, Glenda, about 3 weeks ago, but I don't know if you received them, but I put it on the blessing site, contact info, but I didn't want to bring that up now because I wanted to share something for your Sunday service.
Okay.
And that is,
well,
that
at that time, Christine, all 7 of our websites were crashed. So I probably didn't get it. Why don't you send it again?
Can I just resend it then?
Yeah.
Okay.
That would
be
great.
I wanted to share that I'm leading a Zoom book club because I tell all of my women's groups and people about Love Without End. And finally people said, look, will you please do the book club that you are always inviting people to? And it started, and it's so beautiful. And especially as I listen to the amazing, all that you just said right now is so incredible. I'm remembering when I read to the people, we get to like page 35, and that was when Yeshua said, let me introduce you to your heart. And I remember 20 years ago when I read this book, and that it would change my life like it changed so many of us, when he defines so beautifully and so profoundly that you have a sacred heart and you enter in there. And what you're describing here today, this is the quantum field. It is within our heart. And the dilemma that I find in my ministry is I've got so many people that they are awakened, they love God, they love life, but they're very, very frightened by the world's situations right now. And the reason I'm in that group is to say, guess what? Guess what? That's what we're seeing happening out there. You are not helpless. You are not a victim. We have the kingdom of God, literally a spark in our chest cavity here. We get to energetically vote. We get to say, guess what? As the sons and daughters of God in the unified field, we say no more war. We say love, integration, cohesion within the unified field that brings forward from each one of us and all of us the divine solution. Let's call in the divine solution then. Let's not focus on what is out there that's terrifying everybody. You need to let go. Could we please let go of the fear? Can you please believe that how loved you are? We have an opportunity here. We're alive right now for that reason, to literally bring in through the quantum field of absolute love and the zero point field of infinite possibility. So thank you for saying out loud, there's no, oh gosh, we can't do that because it's all done. There's no hope. And I'm like, no, we have infinite possibilities right there if we will exercise that muscle of our heart.
Exactly. Creation isn't over.
Right. And you also said a beautiful thing.
And
you said that we are creating it. Yeah.
Guess what? God is not somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
The belief. We created the belief in separation. There is no separation.
And there is no death. And so you can use your heart and your gifts to dissolve the belief. It's like a morphic field. I don't know if you're familiar with that term, of belief in death and the death consciousness. And that is what the Buddhists would call Maya, an illusion. There is no death. There is no separation.
Right.
There never was.
That's what Yeshua showed us on the cross. He allowed the body to die, and he resurrected it because death is a lie.
Amen. And he literally made a physical public ascension. He resurrected. He demonstrated that there's no death.
Very visible, or no one would have believed him, but he did.
He did. It's in the scripture were people that, they saw the angel saying, why do you look up? Why are you surprised? Remember, there was an angel right there talking to them. They're all like, oh my gosh, what are we looking at? And we're looking at, and it's not that he is the only one that could demonstrate it. He said to us, follow me. That which I do, you can do, and much more. And I take this literally. And so I'm out there trying to talk to people, especially in various groups, beautiful people doing beautiful things to try to help and wake up the people and, fighting for individual and national sovereignty for the whole planet and all these good principles. But if you don't even understand or believe that God is with you, within you, and that you have access to the divine solutions that are way above what's been created here on Earth, this is a mindset that we've got to break out of. Is like he talks about the synthetic mind, the human mind that only understands zeros and ones and will defend the zero and the one without even knowing what it's doing. It's the higher intelligence of the heart where all the leaders of all the nations need to go too, for that solution that we all agreed to come here at this time to create.
Oh, Christine, you are just yummy. I could put chocolate syrup and a cherry on top. Thank you for such a delightful and delicious topping to the message that we had from Yeshua and my thoughts about it earlier. Yeah, I just really wanted to, and you're doing the same thing. We just want to move this up.
Yes.
Just move it up.
Yes.
That's the book
Absolutely.
I'm writing.
Absolutely.
The title of the book is Love is the Way Up. The only way up.
It's the only way up. You see, I mean,
it's the only way up.
Nobody has a choice. In my experience, whether you know it or not, you can say there is no solution, there is no this or no that. The planet itself is being blessed by God and forcing everybody off of the fence. You kind of have to choose.
And basically,
yeah.
Who wants to go
so
down?
So true.
Really?
Yeah, it's so true. It's almost like the establishment wants divisiveness, and that is anti-love. We need to all
That's
be together.
Right.
We need to accept each other, accept
love
everybody's views, but we're all part of the same quantum field.
Yeah. We
but
are.
We do have to Yes. Let me say one thing to embellish on this. We have to really cure out the idea that love is an intensity of liking, because we're not going to like everybody. We're not going to like everything. We've got to grow in our understanding of what love is.
That's
love
right.
is the creative force that brought everything into being. And
therefore, it is the definition and the action of power
exactly.
to make change, to go up, to move up, to pull everyone up by the bootstraps. And that gratitude that you talked about is so key, because we have an opportunity here. My understanding is that it's a very great honor to get embodiment on Earth at this time. Rather than going, oh my gosh, it's so hard, I'm going to die, we're all going to die. And you're like, okay, everybody, let's just walk away from the morphic field of death and desperation and despair and not be so attached. Don't be so frightened. Let go. It's not even real. We have an opportunity here. And when we come together, we feel it. And I'm really encouraging every town and to find those people in your town that are like you. It's very important to have that, so you can cheer each other on, you help one another, you love one another, and you experience that beautiful field of the Sacred Heart just by being and loving one another. Then people are more open to saying, wow, maybe I do have access to divine solution. Maybe I can access love as bringing in what I would call, you could say, you know, God government, God economy, God in the arts, God in how in our food, God in our blessing, God in everything, on every endeavor on the planet.
Of course.
Those gifts are lying within us. Instead of complaining, it's because you're the one that has to step forward with the piece of the puzzle that only you can bring.
That's right. No one can replace you.
Yeah. And so it's so fun to start Love Without End all over again. And now that I'm reading it again and sharing it with other people, Glenda, I have to tell you, I'm being led by the Spirit in such a beautiful way. At a certain point when I feel, especially these two women, I just said, I literally felt them go right into their Sacred Heart. And I said, I'm just going to end with prayer, and we're going to hang up, and you go be there. And they're in tears. I've got one woman who gives her life to help stop child trafficking. She is a warrior and a light bearer, and she needs support.
And I'm like, God is with you. Oh, thank God for you. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm putting you on my list. And I'm calling to Archangel Michael, like I do every day, to protect these people who are great light bearers, but maybe don't even know it. And they need to know you've got a sacred heart.
Yep. You do.
Amazing
power
stuff.
Within.
Wow.
You have
Christine.
You have the power.
Thank you.
To call in
Thank
the name
God.
Of God.
Yes. 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 And if and I wrote down what you just said, which I'm going to add to my women's group. Give it to the quantum field. Okay, any unreality structure, feed it to your quantum field and let go. It let's proclaim what we want. I call in the name of our own God presence, the love that we are. I come to the throne room of heaven today. We call in the divine solution and the love of God that we are. I am in this physical body, and by the authority that my Father gave me, I dissolve by the power of all of God's love these inversion patterns that are unreal. We restore life, protection to holy, innocent life wherever it is evolving on this planet. In accordance with God's will, amen.
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 Amen. You know, and I want to add one more thing to that. To be open and receiving, because the answers may come in places you did not expect.
Oh, yes.
Amazing.
It is.
Well, Christine, thank you so much for calling today.
Thank you so much, Christine.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We could go on for hours, but we have the great thrill and opportunity now to receive a blessing from the big guy.
So, Glenda.
Hello.
Yes. You're there. For some reason, I thought you'd gone off because we had a loss of sound, but, absolutely.
I
we don't have any more callers.
I didn't change anything. I didn't change a thing. It must be. Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you so much for such a testimony to love and the power of God within us. And yes, it's important for you to know, for everyone to know, you are living in two different fields of creation and reality, and they work together. Are you still there, Carolyn?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And I think
okay, excellent. Well, everyone, I hope that you are as excited as we are to bring this. This is the good news. You know, this is what Yeshua sent his apostles out to the world to tell people, the good news. And the bottom line of the good news is you are immortal. You are a child of God. And that's not just poetry. That's reality. You are. And when you enter the sacred heart that is given to live within you, you can call in the name of God for that which is needed for righteousness, for healing, for creativity, or abundance, or the salvation of a soul that has lost its reality. We have many, many lost souls walking upon this earth. Countless lost souls. And when I say lost, I don't mean they've gone to some horrible place. I mean they've lost recognition of who they are. They have taken on the belief that they are their body. If their body suffers, then they suffer. If their body is limited, then they are limited. And so in losing their identity, in losing their self-worth, in losing their relationship to the eternal. They have forfeited the ability to call forth prosperity. And I would say for most people who've ever had it, they called it forth. They saw a possibility and called it forth. You don't work first and then figure out what to do with the little bit of money you earned. There's never enough. You call forth that which is needed to complete a dream, to complete a purpose, to complete your values and your the great things you would like to see given to the world as a tribute of your lifetime, given to others so that they don't suffer. You all have dreams, and you just need to call forth that which will supply your dreams. And you might need to make a little faith-driven deposit into the quantum field, letting go of either effort or substance. Just let it go. Don't worry about where it will go, because it will come back to you in a more prosperous way, in a more loving way, in a more health-generating way. It will come back to you. And you've passed it into the field that is capable of multiplying. All right. And I'm gonna summarize with this statement right here. Because of the law of conservation, things can't multiply in the quantifiable field. They can only replenish and replace. They can't multiply. All things multiply in the quantum field. And that's the field of the angels, the Holy Spirit, the creator of all things, the one who emerged from the void, the one who turned the void into substance. Give into that field. And now we're going to get ready for our blessing. And the first thing I want you to do is just stretch. And that doesn't require much movement. You can do it just wherever you are. You could be in your recliner, in bed, sitting up, or standing. Take an arm and stretch it. Take your fingers and stretch it. The other arm and stretch it, and fingers and stretch it. Okay, why do we start with stretching? Because we're expanding our potential. We're opening up the space between all cells of our being. And we're opening it up to receiving. We're creating a place. We're emptying our cup so that we can fill it again. If you can stand, stand. And I'd like you to stretch your legs standing. Extend one, and then the other, and then again. And bend over, if you can, just enough to stretch your low back and your mid-back. And then drop your shoulders so that you stretch your upper back. Okay. We're creating space within to receive the blessings of Yeshua into all parts of our body, our heart, our being, our life, and our dreams. We're building all of this into the prayer, the living prayer of our life. Every day that you live and breathe, your life is a prayer. What you live is what you pray for. May that prayer expand. May that prayer open to more possibilities. And as you stand, I want you to turn and just swivel your torso a little bit to the right so that you feel that little twist in your spine. Okay, and now twist it to the left. Oh, and feel that nice opening in your spinal column. Now lift your arms up to the ceiling so that you're stretching your ribcage. And now relax everything. I want you to fill your lungs with a deep breath. Just inhale as completely as you can. Fill the space with your breath. And slowly release it. Again, let's take a full deep breath and release it. And another full deep breath. Release it. Now I want you to be seated. Your feet on the floor. Uncovered if possible, because you're going to draw energy up from the earth. And sitting relatively upright so that the top of your head is pointing outside the atmosphere of the earth so that it can receive energy from cosmic sources, cosmic places. And it will pour into you to reveal possibilities you may not have known before. It will circle, it will enter your body, circle around your heart, and then pass through your feet into the earth, where the earth will filter it and purify it and send it back to you again as pure energy now grounded by the earth, and up through your body, circling around your heart again, and then back through the crown of your head. And this will go on many, many times during the blessing, because it travels faster than the speed of light. These are cosmic rays, and even beyond that, these are holy rays coming into and through your body, awakening your soul, awakening the spaces between physical substance and allowing it to breathe as well. I'm going to offer a prayer to Yeshua, and then you can follow it with your prayer. Pray for that which you want. Pray for the highest person that you can be, that you are here to be your best. You can do your best. You can achieve your best and give your best. Pray for that which you need. Pray for those who need your help. Pray for those who need to know who they are, that they walk upon the earth in sacred companionship. And blessing givers, will you stand with me and be ready to convey the energy of this blessing? Dear Yeshua, we love you and we thank you. We know that you are always here. And we get so busy, we don't pause even a moment to say hello. But thank you that you show up for us when we ask and you do for us that which we need. We thank you for being here always. We thank you for your love. We ask that you will hear the prayers of everyone in our community and supply their needs, inspire their desires, and reveal opportunities in life for them to receive, achieve, or give everything that their soul desires, to bring them peace and joy in life and happiness with one another. Help us to remember that we are not alone, that the Holy Spirit is here to bring peace and understanding, guidance. You are here to bring us love and blessing. And our Heavenly Father is here to always remind us of who we are. We pray for our children. And we pray for those who don't know that there's anything or anyone to pray to. Let them discover. Sit with them, as I know you do, and speak with them, and let them discover your presence. I ask personally for your help in bringing more peace to this earth. I ask that you show everyone how we can end wars, what we can do to end prejudice and exclusion, what we can do to bring greater health to our bodies and our soul. And we thank you now for the blessing we are about to receive. We surrender in honor of you. We let go of things that didn't work for us, and all inequities that we have not been able to balance and complete. We surrender. We give our life into your hands like a babe that is just born. And again, thank you. Amen. Blessed givers, will you join me in conducting the Spirit of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Receive. Open. Open yourself totally to simply receiving. And now I want you to go lie down. Horizontal. On a bed. On a sofa. On the floor. On a mat. On the yard. Wherever you can be horizontal. And completely relaxed to be open and receive. All parts of your body equal. Let the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, and the love of Christ bathe you in a blessing. Don't continue your prayer. No words. Nothing. Just emptiness and receiving. Bye-bye for now. I look forward to being with you again next week. God be with you.